And we're going to open with prayer as always. Love the prayer. Love the prayer. Hope you guys are just falling more in love with prayer. And as you're understanding prayer more, you're falling more in love with doing it. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord. We thank you for this goodness, Lord. Your goodness, Lord God. Father, the songwriter said, more love, more power, more of you in our lives. And Lord, today that's our prayer, Lord. More love for you, more love for others, and more power, Lord God. We know with your love comes power, Lord. More of you in our lives, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would help us to go even deeper, Lord God. Oh, Father, we want to go to deep, calls to deep, it says your word, Lord God. So we call for the deeper things of God, Lord. We don't want to be superficial Christians any longer. We want to be Christians that go deep, Lord God. Father, Christians that can call on the living God, Lord God. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord God, we believe you will lift up a standard against him in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, come. Move, Holy Spirit, move, oh, Lord, in this room, in this hallway, Lord, in this house of God, oh, Lord, all over the house of God. Move by your Holy Ghost, Lord God, and not just in this house of God, but all the houses of God, all over the world, and all our brothers and sisters that proclaim Jesus is Lord. Be with them, Holy Spirit. Protect them. Some of them, their lives are on the line. Protect them and keep them by your power. Keep them by your strength, Lord God. Oh, Father, we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, as always, when we pray, we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 So we are now moving into session 9. We're in a win series. Last time we were talking about win and we were talking about scheduled prayer. And we talked extensively about scheduled prayer and how important it was to have a scheduled prayer time. And oh boy, I hope you guys got that point about Aaron in the temple and how he burned that incense in the morning and then he went back at night and he burned that incense because that incense could never go out. It was the prayers. It was the sweet smelling savor, the praise, it represents so much. It represents prayer and praise up to the Lord going continuously in your life. And he did it in the morning. He set it up in the morning to go, and he set it up in the evening to go. And boy, that to me, that just speaks of morning prayer and evening prayer, you know, just so that you're just covered, you know, and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you concerning that morning prayer and that evening prayer. I know I've heard some people say they pray before they go to bed. Some people say they pray in the morning. And granted, there's nothing in the Bible that tells you this way or that way, but it gives you guidelines. And boy, I was really so moved when I did that study on Aaron and that morning incense and then that evening incense and how the scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing and how he kept that going. And it wasn't just for him. It was for the people. And we talked about that last week, how who are you the priest for? You know, many of you are the priest of your home. There are unbelievers in your home. There are people that are doing all kind of things around you, you know, but there is that priest that always is standing. And that back in the day, the priest stood for the people, before God, for the people. And in a way, we do that often, is that we are the ones that are holding up those prayer fires. We're the praying for people. We're lifting them up. And we talked about, think about the people that need your spiritual life to be healthy in order for them to be okay. Oh, you've prayed probably somebody's life to stay on this planet. You, so many lives have been saved because you were praying for them. I don't think we'll ever know on this side of heaven all the things that have happened because of prayer. I know my life was spared many times because of my mama's prayers before I even knew to pray. My mama was praying. And I know many times my life was spared because of it. So you have to think about the mantle that is upon you. I know you didn't ask for it. I know you didn't ask to be the priest. I know you didn't ask for it. But God has designated you as the prayer warrior in your household and the prayer warrior in your family. They may not even be in your household, but they're in your family, you know. And I find that in families. Sometimes you go in families and you see that priest there, You know, it may be old grandmama that nobody's paying much attention to, but boy, she has prayed for everybody. And you know that by the way she engages and interacts with people. You know she is praying, you know, and she is lifting up and she is making a change. It may seem like nothing. I'm thinking about the movie The War Room and how that little grandma, that little grandma was moving mountains, folks. She was changing families. Because of this grandma and her interaction with this young lady, it touched a corporation that her husband, the corporation was touched because they were like, why would he confess? Why would he admit? Oh, boy, but it was touching even a corporation. You just never know where your prayers are going to touch and how you are changing the world. You are a ripple in a pond. And as you can imagine, the ripples in the pond, how it gets bigger and bigger. And as I said, we won't even know except on the other side of heaven, all the lives that have been changed and have been influenced because you were praying, because you kept your spiritual life healthy before God. So I implore you. This is a day and age where I have to say, this is a day and age where we have to pray morning and evening.
Morning, noon, and night.
Oh, the Lord is moving on me that in the evening, you need your evening prayer now. You know, there was a time you could get by with just the morning, but now, God, guys, I'm telling you, the enemy is coming. Boy, I'm telling you, and you guys already know it. He's trying to smack some of y'all down, you know. So you got to start getting that incense going. The more you pray, you know, the more you pray, he's gonna try and smack you down. But I implore you, you know, get your evening prayer. You know, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. You know, remember we talked about Daniel and his prayer life. And I wonder how many people were waiting for him to show up at that window after that edict was signed that you need to bow down for the next day, 3 days, I think, you have to bow down to the idol that the king had set up. And I wonder how many people were waiting for Daniel to open his window. They said he opened his window and he got out there and he kneeled down knowing it was signed, the scripture said, that he knew it. And he still went out there. And you wonder how many people were watching. And you got to think about when you have gone through something, a tragedy or a loss of some kind, how many people are standing there watching? Mm-hmm. Just see, I wonder what she's going to do now. Mm-hmm. I wonder what she's going to do, you know, and not necessarily in a vindictive way, but just watching to see, oh, what you really believe. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I remember, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit. I went through a tragedy. I mean, it was tragic news. And I heard in my spirit, now we'll see what you really believe. See, folks, people are watching to see what you really believe in. It'll happen. It'll happen when things happen. When people are expecting you to curl up and die and curl up and go into, not that you can't be human and not that you can't shed tears. I'm not saying that. Boy, but when all is said and done, I'm going to go to my window. I'm going to open the doors to my window and I'm going to nail down as is my custom and I'm going to pray to the living God. That's what we've got to see in this day and age. Folks, people need to see that having done all to stand, you are standing therefore. Having done all to stand. So again, I'm just so blessed about that song. It just blessed me. I've heard that song, more love, more power. More of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all that I am. For you are my Lord. You are my Lord. Yes, hallelujah. So as we look at the lesson, now we just reviewed scheduled prayer. Now we're going to go to the when part. Because we're on the when section, when to pray. Spontaneous prayer, and I love this one. And our key scripture is from Psalm 32:6, and it says, let everyone who is godly pray to you at this time when you may be found. Folks, hear that. Pray now while he can be found. Psalm 32:6. And your lesson says, scheduled prayer means an intimacy and positioning with God so that we can touch him deeply at a moment's notice throughout our day so that we can have spontaneous prayer. That's why we do scheduled prayer, so that we can step into spontaneous prayer at a moment's notice. In spontaneous prayer, we are ready to engage with him at any time and at any place. Oh, at any time and at any place, like a car that is constantly running, we are ready to move with God and in God in any situation. Can you say that's true? I'm telling you, I'm ready to move with God. Just tell me what it is. Okay, let's pray. Or Holy Spirit, give me what to say. We do not have to warm up the engine, for we have remained tuned into our Father and can connect with him suddenly. Hallelujah. See, that's the relationship you want with God. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. You just, whatever the enemy, you just break through it, and nothing between my soul and my Savior. The next point says, like a soldier who has been given his marching orders at the start of the day, we must be ready to engage whatever comes at us once we are on the battlefield. And that's from our book on page 58. Folks, I'm telling you, some of us got to wake up and realize you are on a battlefield. And you will be on the battlefield until we get to heaven. So we have to remain on the battlefield. We have to remain in prayer. I put that picture in there. You see the picture of the soldier and the helicopters going and the smoke in the air. We have to have that picture of what we are dealing with from day to day. And it's the scripture on there says, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hand for war, my fingers for battle. And that's Psalms 144:1. You have to be trained for battle and ready at an instant to step into battle when the time comes. You've had your training. You had your time with the Lord. And now it's time to step into the battlefield. And you are ready. It goes on to say, it may be a person in trouble who needs prayer, or an unexpected blessing. You know, it could be good or bad, but you got to stay in God no matter what. And you praise God for it. Or a crisis where everyone is panicked, but your heart turns to prayer. Or a decision you need to make, and you need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It can happen. You weren't expecting to have to make this decision, but there you are at a moment having to make a decision, you know, and you need the Holy Spirit to help you. Spontaneous prayer is always needed throughout your day as we live in this troubled and broken creation. I guarantee it, folks. You, even if you didn't pray, you needed to. You needed to pray. You know, you can say, well, I get through my day, and I'm like, yeah, but there were times where you needed to pray. Whether you did or not, you know, it's up to you, but there were times when you needed to pray, and how many things would have been averted had I prayed? I wouldn't have been drawn into that crazy conversation had I prayed. I wouldn't have spoken those things I shouldn't have said. I wouldn't have acted or reacted had I just focused on the Lord at that moment and focused on his word and what he was saying. Jesus taught us, be dressed and ready for active service and keep your lamps continuously burning. And that's Luke 12:35. Just like the incense in the ancient temple of Solomon, the spirit of prayer should be continuously burning in our hearts, ready to go into action suddenly when needed. And we just talked about that, Aaron and the temple that Solomon built, and how Aaron wasn't in that temple, but early on, before Aaron would burn that incense constantly for the people, it had to keep going. Those were God's orders, that incense kept going all the time. And now we see it, the symbolism of it, the prayer, and always be ready to pray. So what are the reasons for spontaneous prayer that we run into usually in your lesson? Number one is newness. Something new coming into your life. Folks, pray. New people come into your life, pray. New situations, pray. New home, pray. New car, pray. Everything. Just anything new, a new job, pray. Take the time to pray whenever you begin something new. And that's from our book on page 59. The enemy lies in wait for the people of God. Can I say that again?
Yes.
The enemy lies in wait for the people of God. Some of y'all don't believe that, but the scripture says you are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. You've got to understand that. You're counted for sheep to be slaughtered. The enemy knows who you are. Once you accept Jesus Christ, folks, I'm telling you, you got a target on your back. That's why people are acting all weird sometimes with you, and you're like, what did I do? You accepted Jesus. That's what you did. And now their master knows your master, and their enemies, and they don't mix. So they're acting all weird with you because you're counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Their master has given the order that you are to be slaughtered. And you gotta get that. That's strong language, but that's the language the Bible uses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's strong language, but that's exactly, the devil's not taking any prisoners. Do you know that? He's not taking prisoners. He only comes, what did Jesus say? He only comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not coming to play patty cake with you. He's not coming to negotiate something with you. He's coming only, Jesus said, but to steal from you, to kill you, and destroy you and your family.
And he may not do that in a physical sense.
Yeah.
But he can do it with slander.
All kind of ways. He'll kill the soul. He can't touch your spirit, but boy, he'll go after your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions make up your soul, and he'll go after it. And after your family that way. He doesn't care if they're children. He doesn't care if they're helpless. He doesn't play fair, folks. There are no rules with him.
I'm grateful.
If he can
God
take
the Holy Spirit, that's where, you know, and there's been times in my life where God would say, that's your brother, or that's your sister, or that's your pastor.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yes.
Tread lightly.
Yes.
You know? Oh, yeah, because I'm angry, or I'm frustrated, or whatever is happening to me, and all of a sudden lashing out, and then Holy Spirit's like,
That's what I call the David syndrome. I call that the David, because we talked about David. We're going to talk about him again today. How he starts out, screaming and venting, and all of a sudden he says, but test me, Lord. And know my heart. I love that. Yeah. You know, and remember, he is a man after God's own heart. So God wants you, bring it. God says, bring it. Come on, bring it. Bring your A game. Come on, come on. Bring your worst attitude. Come on, bring it. Bring it. God wants to hear it. He said, come on, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet. Hallelujah. I'll make it white as snow. Though it be red like crimson, I will make it like wool. Honey, bring your, come on, bring all your junk. Bring all your stuff to me.
Amen.
And tell me all about it. And then there's that shift. Woo, and the Holy Ghost come on into it. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost shows up and something changes within me, honey. Something changes. Oh, Lord, that's my brother. That's my sister. Help them, Jesus. Bless them. Oh, man, there's such a change. And again, folks, you know, as we, it happens in prayer. And that's why prayer is so critical and prayer is so important. So again, that incense. So the reason for that newness, anything new going on around you, you want to pray. The enemy lies in wait for the people of God. He will set traps for you. So you must always be on alert through praying over anything and everything, any person and any new place in your life. Be praying over it. The scriptures teach us, be sober. Oh, I could stop right there. Be sober. I know, you know, we all like to have a good time. We like to laugh. And, you know, there's a time for that. But, honey, when the Holy Ghost tells you, sober up. There's an attack coming. Sober up. And the Lord has told me that. Okay, you need to sober up. I know you had a good time with that. But now it's time to sober up. Be sober, which is well-balanced and self-discipline, meaning I don't need to be indulging in certain things right now because I need to be in prayer a little bit more now. I need to sober up. Be alert and cautious at all times. Okay, so you got to be ready to go into this all the time, folks, at all times. Be ready. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. He's trying to find somebody that's not watching, somebody that's goofing off, somebody that's not careful with themselves. And we're talking to believers here. I'm not talking on, because, you know, he's coming after us. He's talking to believers. That's 1 Peter 5:8 in the Amplified. The enemy loves to throw darts at the children of God unexpectedly. Oh, see, I said he doesn't play fair. You know, like it used to be shameful to shoot a man in the back. The devil doesn't care. He'll shoot you in the back. He'll shoot your child in the back. He will shoot the darts unexpectedly. You didn't see it coming. That's why we're talking about spontaneous prayer. The darts can come in the form of a difficult announcement. It can come as an enticement. Oh, you're tempted with something that you didn't expect. A seduction. Oh, be careful, folks. The enemy, he doesn't care. He'll send a seduction your way. Something that just, you know, he knows appeals to this here. Makes this feel good, you know. Or a verbal attack. And boy, one of his favorites, a lie. Oh, he loves to lie. Jesus said he was the father of lies. Oh, I mean, he'll come in your face and he'll tell you something. I mean, through somebody, will say something. And, you know, somebody told me something this week and I was like, you know, it was one of those moments where I had no words. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, do not receive this. Mm-hmm. It is a lie. Okay. I'm going to stand on that it is a lie.
Actually said those words before when hearing something.
Yeah.
I don't receive that.
People will say stuff to you and I don't even receive that.
Yeah.
I don't receive. Sometimes they'll say something about you. They're trying to manipulate. Mm-hmm. You know, or they'll say something about your child, or your child will say something about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't know. You know, I just, oh boy, unbelievers. Sometimes when people don't believe, you know, the enemy just has them so manipulated. You know, like driven, what this Bible says, driven by the sea, wind and toss, to and fro, you know, all over the place. You know, one week they're this way, and next week they're that way, and next week they're going to do that, and next week they're going to do that. You know, all these lies that the enemy tells them. And they'll speak it out. And sometimes I have to say, I don't receive that. That's not God. You know, and sometimes I won't say it out loud because they can't receive what I'm saying. But in my spirit, I have to keep my spirit healthy and not receiving a lie. Because sometimes people will tell you a lie and sometimes it'll break your heart. Some of the things or hurt you so much what they say. And you have to hear the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost has said. And don't receive that.
Doesn't it seem don't like receive suicide?
Yes, it has. And it's been that way and it's escalating.
That is
another example of a lie. Satan will lie and will lie and will lie to somebody to the point where they don't even want to live anymore. And they will take their lives. They will take their lives. Men have a high rate of suicide, folks. Men, you know, and yes, he wants to take out the Adams. If I take out Adam, you know, often the Eve's going to follow. You know, if I can take out Adam, then the children will follow. You know, so often, you know, the lies that come into people's mind, women, oh, ladies, boy, we're emotional creatures, you know, and that's a beautiful thing on one hand. God gave us that emotion because that's why we're so nurturing, because we have that heart, that big heart. But boy, that big heart is a big target too for the enemy to carry us off into places where we are committing suicide too. Mamas committing suicide. Children killing their parents. Boy, we've had two in the last month. We had two in Pueblo tragedies. Children killing their parents. folks because of the liar that he lies. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful when you hear the lie. Don't embrace it. Oh, I'm getting ahead of the lesson. Let me just talk about this again. I'm getting ahead because I hit on this lie piece because it just really made me mad this week. The enemy wants you to embrace lies all the time, says your lesson, about yourself, your family, and others, especially when you're praying for them. Folks, you'll be praying and praying and praying, and they'll come and tell you something. You'll be like, now, you know, I ain't even receiving that because I've been praying for you for too long for me to go there with you. But the Holy Spirit will gently whisper in your heart, in your spirit, this is a lie. Do not receive it, but continue in prayer. The Holy Spirit. Go to the Holy Spirit. I don't care what people say and what people do. And often, right before the victory, hallelujah, right before the victory, the enemy will rage like he's never raged before because it's time for him to go. Hallelujah. The enemy loves to derail your prayers for people. And there it is, right there. Somebody already said it. The enemy loves to derail your prayers for people by, you know, when the lie comes. Because you're praying and here come the lies to derail. Well, I might as well give up, you know, because they just getting worse. Keep praying. When the lie comes, press in even harder into prayer. Do not give the lie life by repeating it and reacting sinfully to it. Be careful, because a lie wants to get a reaction, man. The enemy is standing right there. He's told them the lie, and now they're telling you the lie, and he's watching to see your reaction to the lie. He's like, okay, I got him now. Got him now. Oh, press into prayer. Cut there was a little old lady back in our church back home. She said, you know, you got to cut the devil's head off. And I used to love
it's
that.
True,
I used to, when I was younger, I was like, what is she talking about? But I have come to understand what that little old church mother was saying. She said, you know, sometimes you got to just cut the devil's head off. You know? And she meant in prayer and in praise. The sword of the Spirit, because you confess the word of God over the lie. And you say, I confess right now, he said he would save me and my household. That's what I confess over my family. I don't care what kind of lie. We cast that lie out of here in the name of Jesus. We cast it out. You don't repeat the lie. You don't react sinfully to it. I have found that at these times, the victory is close. The victory is close. It's like when the devil has been exposed and he's being dragged out by the angels of the living God and he's screaming. You know, I love that scene from The Passion of the Christ.
Oh,
I don't know. You remember that scene from The Passion of the Christ when Jesus was on the cross and he thought he was just sitting there watching while Jesus was on the cross and he was just up there thinking he got the victory. Oh, man. And then he died. Oh, my God. And he didn't realize that he had taken the sins of humanity, and now the humanity could be saved. And remember that scene? I don't know if you remember that scene where that devil was like, he was screaming because, oh my God. Well, he probably didn't say, oh my God. He didn't realize what had happened. He didn't even realize what had happened. He thought he was killing the Son of God and didn't know that the Son of God was dying for the sins of mankind. So often when you see that reaction, the victory is close, folks. The victory is close. It's his last ditch effort to take and to steal. And keep praying. I'm telling you, keep praying. Don't you dare. Don't you dare stop praying. In fact, you add a third time, you know, three times a day. Lord, if I have to get it, I would go out in the middle of my lunch break. I'm going to pray on my lunch break. I'm going to really chop his head off and really call their name up. The scriptures teach us, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Hear this. I love this one. The scripture says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Folks, I didn't write this. Jesus, the word of God, this is in the word of God. We don't draw back. We do not draw back into the destruction of the enemy, but we believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. I love that. That had a new revelation for me this week. Hebrews 10:39 had a new revelation, how we believe to the saving of the soul. We don't let the enemy just do his mess. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. So newness, new things are happening. You're hearing new news or new things, new lie happening. Boy, you press in.
One thing I've noticed is that, you can have obsessive compulsive doing mm-hmm. or obsessive compulsive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that when I start obsessing on that lie that mm-hmm. was given to me, I will replace it with those things that are good,
yes.
those things that are
yes.
in prayer,
yes.
and also
yes.
because it takes your mind off of that.
Yes.
Lie, because
yes.
it will eat
yes.
you up.
It will eat you up.
Yeah.
It is work.
Yes.
It is work to turn that lie back to the truth.
Yes.
It is work, because that thing's eating yes. you up. That thing is aching in your heart. You know, especially if it involves someone you love, it is aching in your heart. But I'm telling you, you can do it. You take the word of God, you take the sword of the Spirit, and you start cutting that lie asunder. And I pray, God, help me bring the heavenly host, Jesus, with me to fight these demons that are trying to come and take. Folks, we're going to stand. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that. Because, yes, it's work. It's not passive. It's active. You've got to be working at this. And we have the victory in Jesus. So it's just a matter of you picking up your sword. Okay, don't be however in the corner crying, and the devil don't care if you're crying. Did you? He's not gonna feel sorry for you.
No.
You know, he's standing there laughing. Look at her crying. Mm-hmm. You know what? Tomorrow I got a new lie for her, mm-hmm. and that'll probably lead her on to suicide. That's what he's talking. That's what he's saying. He's not feeling sorry for you. So, folks, it's about time you get up and you pick up your sword and you start swinging it back, and you turn that lie back to the truth of what the Lord has said. So, number one, newness. Number two, we need spontaneous prayer because of needs. Needs can come at a moment's notice. Needs are probably the major reason mankind prays, is because he's got a need. Oh, my life is in danger. Oh, my goodness, I cannot get out of this situation. I need to pray. That's why we pray. When someone is in need, we should pray before we act, even when it's urgent. You know, you need to be praying on the way to the hospital. Be praying. You know, be praying. I know you gotta be moving, but pray. Be in prayer. You know, while you're doing what you're doing, we need to act. We have to access God 24/7. He is always available. We have access to God 24/7. He is always available when we need to pray spontaneously. So we have to access him. Remember, human emotions are always standing by to motivate us to act. So we gotta know this. Let's park here for a minute. But often emotions will move us to do or say things that are out of the will of God because we fail to pray. Okay. So a little comment on that. We must, and I keep hitting on this emotional piece, but let's hit on it one more time. We must recognize that we are emotional creatures. You gotta know yourself. You gotta know yourself. You know, don't lie about yourself. Just say, you know, I got a temper. You know, I get jealous. I'm like this. You know, this is what I'm working with, Jesus. This is what I'm trying to bring to you. This is what I'm bringing to you. I have a temper. I cry over everything. You know, I just cry. Not cry to Jesus. I'm just crying. You ever seen people just cry? Just cry. And you know, and I'm not picking on them, because I have friends that are just cry babies.
Oh, okay.
You say the littlest old thing and they're just crying. I'm not picking on the sanguine, but they just I have friends, you know, they just cry over everything. Just cry. Just always crying. And so then I'm like, you know what? It's time to pray. We got to stop crying. Let's pray. Let's talk to Jesus, you know.
But it's important. That's why I like doing the temperament test, because it shows you. You know, see, yeah, the sanguines have that tender heart. They be crying all the time. Then the cholerics be like, are you done yet? You know? So you got the mean cholerics, and then you got the crybaby sanguine. You know, like, oh, God. You know? Or are you the type that shuts down? You know, those melancholies, they just shut down on you, you know. They just shut down. They just stop speaking, honey. They're giving you the icy cold shoulder. You've got to know yourself. How I am, okay, you know, when I hear news, certain news, I'm going to shut down on you. If I hear something that you did that I didn't like, I'm giving you the cold shoulder. You've got to know that about yourself. Know yourself, know your temperament, so you know what you need to bring to God when it comes to your emotions. Fearful, people that are fearful, just afraid of everything, just afraid to do, can't do anything. Just afraid, oh, go here, won't do that. Just afraid of everything, just can't get them to step out on anything. The fearful, oh my God, know yourself. And bring it to Jesus. Lord, I'm just full of fear. You know, I'm just afraid. I don't mean to be afraid. I don't ask to be afraid. But Lord, I'm afraid. I don't know why, but this overwhelming fear just comes over me every time and you fill in the blank. You know, again, knowing yourself, knowing what you need to bring to Jesus, because your emotions, when situations happen, your emotions are going to be right there with you. You can't separate yourself from your emotions, but you have to overcome. So you have to be ready to walk in the Spirit rather than give in to your emotions by submitting your emotions to God during your scheduled prayer, and then note your progress during the day. Lord, there was a time I was afraid to do that, but today I did it. Folks, you got to be ready. You got to be ready. I know when this happens that I do this, but Lord, help me. And then note the progress. You know, don't let the enemy keep it out of your mind. You did it today. You went a little further today than you usually did. You spoke up more than you usually did. You had an idea. You got involved today more than you usually did. You know, you didn't get mad over that. You know, oh, you didn't cry today. You didn't cry over that situation today. You know, you did good. You did good. Terry's like, but again, you know, it's good to laugh at yourself, but it's good. Know yourself. Mm-hmm. Lord, this is what I'm dealing with, Lord. You know me. You know that I'm hot-tempered, you know, and people say things and I'm going to fly off the handle. And then, boy, the day it doesn't happen, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, we're getting the victory over this. Lord, there was a time when I would have laid into them. As Terry said, there was a time I would have slapped them. But today, I didn't slap them.
I didn't slap
them. Oh, no. So we want to really just know yourself, know your emotions. You know, I had to get to know my emotions. I said, Lord, you know, that choleric temperament will rise up in me, and I will jump up on a podium in a minute and give a speech, and will cut people up with my tongue. And boy, the Holy Spirit had to come and deal with me on that. And I didn't even realize it. You know, people told me, but I said, oh, you just being a crybaby. You know? But it was true, Terry. It was true. I had to come to Jesus. I had to come to Jesus. I had to have a David moment where I had to shift, you know.
Now you use your time for
Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Finally. Finally. You know, so you want to note your progress. You want to note what the Lord is doing in you. Sometimes don't hide that. You know, write stuff down and date it. And then as you see the victory, right? Okay, Lord, today this happened. You know, keep a diary. You know, I used to keep a Dear God diary. And I said, Dear God, today, you know, Mary came at me again. But today, Lord, I kept my peace, Lord. I kept quiet, Lord, and dated. So you can look back and you can see that progress. It testifies to you that God is doing a work in you.
Amen. You know, and that is so, that is, that helped me so, like, okay, Jesus is working in my life. You know, I'm not stagnant. Things are happening with me, and I, that's encouraging. So again, those human emotions, expect them to show up during the day and be ready to overcome them. Emotion, your lesson says emotions move us to act on behalf of ourselves and others, but the Holy Spirit gives us guidance and inspiration on how to move within the will of God. And that's what we want. You know, sometimes people are not happy with how we move that way, you know, because there will be emotional people around you that want you to do this. I wouldn't take that. I would do this. You hear God. Mm-hmm. Hear the Holy Ghost. Remember Jesus, he told the disciples, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem and they're going to arrest me and they're going to put me to death. And Peter's like, no, you can't go down there. Don't go down there. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, Peter meant well, but it was not the will of the Father. The Father told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And if you all don't understand, you just won't be able to understand right now. But I find later on, people get it. They understand. Peter got it. Down the road, Peter got it. Oh, that's why he had to go to Jerusalem to die. So we got to, again, follow the will of God. The next point says, our God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He provides everything, both physical and spiritual. Many times in the plan of God, he will address your spiritual needs before your physical needs. And you got to get that. He will address your physical, your spiritual needs before your physical needs. And he'll do that with people too. He's addressing their spiritual needs before he addresses their physical needs. So I've learned, Lord, I pray your will be done in their life. I'm not going to pray that you bless them with what they're asking for. You know, because they're asking, well, I need a job and I need this and I need that. I'm like, I'm praying God's will be done. And his kingdom come in your life, because sometimes God is keeping you right here still because he needs to do something in your spirit first before he gives you that blessing. Prayer brings clarity to what God is saying when you or others are in need. When you are in need, when we are in need, we should come to God first and ask in faith, believing in his goodness to meet all aspects of our needs. So again, folks, we gotta. You know, in that spontaneous prayer, I've learned to pray differently for people. They said, you know, would you pray that I get a new car? I'm like, I'm going to pray God's will be done. That's what we always want, because he loves us, you know, and I don't know all the issues going on in your life. I don't have all the intel on your life. So all I can pray truthfully and know that God will hear it is his will be done and his kingdom come in your life. And I know he loves you. So I know it's going to be a good thing that he brings into your life. Many times when a person is in need, they do not want to pray, but react and vent. You know, and you'll find people, they want to react and they want to vent. They don't want to pray. Even believers, they want to react and vent. And this is where your spiritual health is important, as you pray within yourself, asking for the Holy Spirit to season your words as you listen. Because sometimes your work is listening. You listen. And as you're listening, you're praying. You're listening and you're praying, you're listening, you're praying. And the Holy Spirit will say, just be silent and listen, you know, because they need somebody just to vent to, you know, because they're human beings and they need to vent. And at that point, you're like praying and praying. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's a good friend. You know, I have a good friend, and boy, she was angry at somebody, and boy, she had, and she was a believer, but her attitude was bad. She was angry. She was mad, man. And, you know, I couldn't endorse it. I'm like, I had to be careful. I said, Lord, I don't want to endorse this. She's just, yeah, they did her wrong. Yes, they did. But what does our Lord say? Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. For this, to this you have been called, he said. So I cannot endorse, you know, your thinking evil or wanting evil toward this person, because it is against the word of God. So all I can do is sit here and listen and pray. And pray, Lord, change your heart. Turn her heart. You know, turn her heart. The scriptures teach, in your lesson it says, the scriptures teach us, so do not be like them praying as they do. For your Father knows what you have need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or sacred be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And you know, that's Matthew 6, 8 through 11. So let's look at that for a minute. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught on not praying loudly. And that's what they were doing. When he said, don't pray like them, they were praying loudly for the purpose of others seeing them, seeing you. And do not pray with vain repetitions. That's what he was talking about. Don't pray loudly to show off in front of everybody how much you're praying, or with vain repetitions, just empty, just saying prayers and not really meaning it, just vain repetitions. But he taught us to pray in secret sometimes, the secret place. And sometimes the secret place has to be in the prayer closets of our hearts. Sometimes the secret place is in your heart, you know, because sometimes you're in a place where I can't run into a closet and pray. Sometimes I'm right in the middle of it, you know, and I just have to sit there and I'm praying in my heart. I've seen people do that. I don't know if you ever noticed, sometimes in the middle of a commotion, you see that person, eyes closed and just praying. You know, just praying. Can't do anything about this right now. You know, I've seen people that are in medical crisis, and they're on the brink of death, and you just see, you know, sometimes you just see a person just standing there, just praying. They're in that secret place in their heart, just praying before the Lord, not loudly, not disrupting anything, but just right in the secret place of the heart. They are praying. They're in their prayer closet right here. And praying, and that's what Jesus is saying. And again, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh Lord, in heaven everything is done that according to the will of God. So that's what we pray, Lord. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. Let it be carried out as if you want. And then it says, give us this day our daily bread. The comment I wrote says, note that your kingdom come and your will be done proceeds. Give us this day our daily bread. It could be said this way: I submit to your will in meeting my needs for the day. I submit to your will in meeting my needs, whatever. Your kingdom come in my life. You know, you'll give me my daily bread. But Lord, first of all, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life first. And then, Lord, within that, under that umbrella, give me my daily bread. You know, that's the way it is to be prayed. So we understand that what comes is within the realm of God's will. So needs are a biggie. That's why we usually pray. So again, we want to bring all those needs under the umbrella of the will of God as we pray. Next, blessings. Oh boy, and this is a tricky one. Blessings, boy, spontaneous prayer and blessings. Why do we have to pray when we get a blessing? Well, let's look at this. As God provides, protects, forgives, and guides you, thank him. Don't let the routine blessings you receive each day be taken for granted. And this is from Battle Plan of Prayer, page 59. We take so much for granted. The scriptures teach us, be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter what the circumstances. Be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18. So just as needs can come up in a moment's notice, so can blessings come up in your day. You know, God loves to do that. Just bless you. Just, you didn't even expect. Just spontaneous blessing. You know, I told you all about my KitchenAid mixer in that Sam's Club. I mean, I was like so thrilled. I was like, thank you, Jesus. I know that was Jesus. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, Howard did, wasn't even expecting it. I know that I was thanking him at the checkout, man. Let thankfulness always be on your lips as your lesson. At any given moment, there is always reason to thank God as we continually live in his blessings on planet Earth. There's always a reason to thank God. If you are breathing, you have a reason to be thanking God. You know, you're breathing his air, you're eating his food, you're living on his planet, you're enveloped in his atmosphere. Oh man, there's always a reason to be praising God on planet Earth. Your lesson says, God is pleased when we remain grateful and humble before him. Take time to say thank you. Boy, take time to just say thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that the sun is rising in the east, that this old planet didn't roll off of its orbit into oblivion, you know, into space where we would freeze to death. Lord, I thank you that the sun is rising. I thank you, Lord, that winter is coming, that it's rotating like it's supposed to around the sun. It's on its orbit, and now winter has come as it's supposed to come so the earth can get a rest, the planet can get a rest, so springtime will come, and so that we can plant crops and that a harvest will be here again. Oh, boy, you just have to be thankful to God. You know, I tell people, I love a good blizzard. Give me a good blizzard. I thank God for a good blizzard. Slow me down for a day. You know, shut everything down. I don't want to. I want to be on the laptop like, hey, the internet's working. Come on, you guys, let's get on the phone. Help me, Jesus. You know. But I thank God. I thank God that he gives us a blizzard sometimes because it shuts everything down and gives us all a rest. You know, and I think, you know, I look at my staff and they love a snow day. Oh, it's a snow day. We might have a snow day tomorrow. I said, well, you make sure you check before, you know. If D70 is closed, we're closed. So I'm like, you check and make sure D70 in Pueblo is closed. Not the mountain school, in Pueblo. If not, we working. Laura's working on me. So, but thank God for the change of the seasons, is what I'm saying, because it's so true to his promise. He said, as long as the earth remains, there will be summer, there will be winter, there will be springtime, there will be harvest. So as we see the change of the seasons, even as winter came early this year, folks, Lord, it's a fulfillment of promise. Winter's going to come as long as I'm over the earth, and he always will be. Winter will come. So we just thank the Lord for that. So God is pleased. So take the time to say thank you. A grateful heart pleases God and moves him to do more for you when you have a grateful heart. And finally, I'm going to try and finish this section, or maybe we should wait till the next time. I think we're going to leave burdens because that's a big section. We'll leave burdens for next week. Any comments or questions?
What is repetitive prayer? I mean, can you open up the Lord by saying, good morning, Lord? I mean, if you say the same thing, is that repetitive or is that moot?
Well,
I mean,
the scripture says vain repetitions.
But I mean, if you really, truly, sincerely mean it.
Yeah, then it's not vain.
Okay.
You know, vain is you do it for show. You know, like a vain woman. They talk about a woman that's vain and she's just so showy. You know, that's what Jesus said, vain repetitions and just saying things. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful day you have given us, and, you know, just in front of everybody. So that's what Jesus was talking about. The scriptures call it vain repetitions, not repetitions as far as, Lord, I'm thanking you today. And I thank you, Lord, for this, and I thank you for that, and you mean it, and you're sincere.
Help me to do this. That's not vain.
No, we're not talking about that. And Virginia brought up a good point. Yeah. You know, it's not just a matter of repeating words, but if you mean it sincerely. Yes. The scriptures, Jesus was talking about vain repetitions. Yeah. That it was for another purpose other than talking to God. Maybe I should put it that way. You're saying it for another purpose other than talking to God. You're saying it so people can see you and hear you and hear how eloquent you are, or hear how much you thank God, or hear this. But God is always looking right at that heart and seeing what's going on in that heart.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of you being repetitious yourself and thanking God for the day. Thanking God. I thank God for the day every day. You know, and I mean it. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And, you know, always thanking him, you know. So, again, there's a difference.
And it's just like at night when I get off work, it's dark, and I have a hard time seeing, you know. So I say, God, please help me drive. You go, that's not vain. That's
No. Okay. Absolutely not, because you're talking to, there's nobody else
that's
around.
A need.
That's a need. Yeah. That's a need. There's nobody else around. Yeah. It's just you and God talking. Okay. No, that's real. That's okay. Honest. And again, I emphasize that word vain repetitions, he said.
Okay.
You know.
In your
prayer life. I'm not driving, Lord, you're driving. You know, help me keep, keep everything out of my way. That's not bad.
No, not at all. I believe he's pleased with that. Because I believe God is pleased with that. Because God wants to be invited into everything you're doing. Okay. You're driving, your work.
Right.
Your even when you cook. Man, bring
God.
Oh,
girl.
Bring, invite Jesus into
your
girl. Invite Jesus.
Lord, I pray over this food.
Invite Jesus into her kitchen in the name of Jesus. Give her thoughts on how to cook.
I can't cook.
Bless her recipes, Lord God.
Oh, Renee, this came out so good. What did you do? I said I sprinkled it with Jesus.
Yeah.
Prayers, love.
Yes, I have a friend that does. Oh, it's got love in it. That's why.
Albana just kind of rambling.
Yeah.
Okay, this is like you're all standing here and I'm like, oh Lord, I thank you for what you gave me today. Oh, the Holy Spirit that guides me, Lord. Oh, Jesus, that you're in my life.
And you're making everybody else think,
But the vein comes in, what is God seeing in her heart? Because a lot of people pray out, but what is going on in her heart? Is she praying just so people can hear? You know, that's because he was saying that. You know, don't be like the publicans that, or don't be like the Pharisees that pray in the open and says, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that person. That does this and does that and does this, Lord. I thank you that I come to church and I'm here every Sunday, Lord. And you know, Lord, I teach Sunday school. Oh, God.
And look, I'm at the prayer wall.
But I'm doing it. I'm doing it so that others. I'm not,
when I get home and driving, I said, thank you, Lord, I'm home.
That's fine, no, Virginia. That's you're not repetitious, Virginia. Okay, anybody else? Okay, we're good. Let's go to this table. Let's go to I'm gonna be like the talk show host. Let's go over to this table and see what they have to say.
But it's like I was growing up in the Catholic Church, and the rosary, for example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just repetition. Mm-hmm. And half of the time, you weren't even praying. You're just repeating.
Your mind was wandering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Yeah. That's another example of that, is that there's just repetition and not the heart is in it, you know.
But I have to know, because this is the lie that comes to me, so... I have a prayer life. It's not as good as I would like it to be, but I have a prayer life.
Yes.
And then I go through my day, and not taking advantage of what God has done for me, but in my mind and in my heart, I'm saying, because you love me and because you heard me today, I'm going to go through my day, you know, knowing I'm covered.
Yes.
And then... things would happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so I either pray or I don't. But what I'm saying is that the lie comes to me saying, you're just greasy grace.
Yeah.
You know, you're just taking advantage of God's love for you and the grace of God and the mercy of God. And it kind of confuses me sometimes, because I go through my day, but I've already given that to him, you know? And it's like, oh no, Lord, am I really doing that? Am I... Mm-hmm. So I kind of get my lines blurred with that. Mm-hmm.
And do you feel the Holy Spirit is saying that, or is it
no?
That's the work of the enemy. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Okay. The Holy Spirit is an encourager.
Yeah.
Jesus knows you inside out. He knows what. Okay, today she might be distracted by that. I knew that. He already knew that about you, but I still love her, and I'm still wooing her to come. To come to me. As I said, when you break through that kind of wall, because we all go through that. I was telling her earlier that we all go through that as believers. The enemy makes us feel guilty about praying because we messed up, or we missed it, or we didn't do this, or we didn't do that, or we overslept, and now I'm rushing out to work, and I'm praying in the car, or whatever, and that kind of thing happened. But don't you know Jesus knows all of that? And I told her, I said, if you can imagine you being like a cracked vessel, and the blood of Jesus seeps into the cracks, the places where we miss it, the places where we mess up, but his blood seeps into those cracks and covers us all the way. He's not looking for a perfect. He knows we're not perfect. The scripture says he sees our frame and he knows we are but dust. He knows that. But still he came and he bled and he died for imperfect creation. But if you can break through that wall, that particular wall, because I remember having to go through that wall. I felt if I wasn't perfect before God, then how can I talk to God? If I'm not perfect, if I messed up, how can I go to him now? You know, that is a lie, folks. Break through it. Keep praying. Seconds after you messed up, embrace him. And I've learned to do that. Seconds after I said the wrong thing, I said, Lord, here I am. I messed up. Forgive me. And here I am. And he always embraced me. And he wanted me to break through that wall finally because I am not my own salvation. See, that kind of attitude makes us feel like we are our own salvation. I have to be perfect. Then I can come to you. When he died for our sins. He died because we were imperfect. And I was sharing that when you break through that wall, and I know this from my own experience, your relationship with God would go to a whole new level because you will be into a spontaneous prayer like never before because you're not thinking about, okay, what did I do? Can I pray now? You know, sure. Did I do okay? You know, because that's what I would do. Like, okay, I want to pray, but is there some unconfessed sin I need to deal with? You know, instead of just coming, Lord, I'm just coming to you. Your maidservant, imperfect vessel, Lord, but I'm coming to you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I'm just praying for this. I'm praying for that. Lord, and help me. You know, help me to do this. Help me to do that. You know, and Lord, help me to do better. You know, and help me to, you know. So we got to break through those walls, folks, so that we can go to those higher levels with God. Don't walk around feeling you need to be perfect in order to pray. Break through that barrier. Rita.
If the cow says that Jesus became sin for us, and then he also gave us his righteousness, so that's who we are in him.
Yes.
But you also touched on John 10:10. Jesus is also, he's speaking to his sheep, which is us, the believers, and saying that thief comes to steal. If he could steal the word of God, then he could destroy you and kill you or steal your stuff. But it's the word of God that cuts, like you say, the cuts the head of the devil.
Cuts
He's after through his lies, he tries to steal the word of God.
Yeah. Yes, through a lie. Mm-hmm. Through a lie. Mm-hmm. If he can derail your prayer life, he's got you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let him derail your prayer life. I don't care what has happened. You keep praying. Lord, I'm pressing in. Lord, you know I'm not perfect. Your word says you see my frame. You know I'm but dust. But Lord, here I am. Here I am. And you promise that the work you began in me, you continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Lord, here I am. Here I still am. And as I said, I just had that picture in my mind of all the cracks that we have in ourselves. And Jesus' blood seeps down into those cracks and covers. You know, we don't have to be perfect. He takes care of it. He knows where he's bringing us to. He knows where we are at this moment in time. He knows what we still have to overcome. You know, he knows that we're working on our discipline. You know, but he says, but come. Don't ever feel like you have to shy away from Jesus. You don't. You always can come. So, anybody else? So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, God, for the privilege of coming before the throne of grace and finding help in the time of need, Lord God. Finding help suddenly. Finding help in a moment's notice, Lord God. You are there, Lord God. Oh, Lord, you are always looking. You are always watching, Lord God.
And Lord, I know you are always looking for us to turn to you, Lord. I pray that we will make it a practice of inviting you into every aspect of our life, Lord God. Oh, Father, we don't compartmentalize you and leave you in Sunday morning or leave you in Sundays or leave you in our morning prayer or our evening prayer, Lord. We want you throughout the day. That incense needs to be burning throughout the day, Lord God. So, Lord, in a moment's notice, oh, Lord, we're calling on you. Oh, Father, you said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Oh, Lord, so proud, Lord, we thank you that you are doing that for us, Lord God. I pray that we would practice it. Practice it, Lord God. Oh, Father, and I pray against a spirit of guilt, the enemy, the demon of guilt that would try to create a wall between us and you, Lord God. Your blood tore down that wall. Oh, Lord, and I pray in the name of Jesus, we would know that we would not shy away. We would not withdraw. Oh, God, when we have messed up and when we have made mistakes, when we have misspoken or when we have reacted sinfully, Lord God, oh, from this day on, let it not be so, Lord God, that we step boldly, oh, God, before our Lord. Oh, Lord, we are your family. We are your offspring, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and Lord, no matter what, Lord, your blood covers us and keeps us and holds us and protects us and loves us. Oh, Lord, let us hold to that in the name of Jesus. I pray against lies that have been spoken, Lord God. Lies, Lord God, we cast them down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast down lies, Lord. We agree together, oh, Lord, as a family, as a group, Lord. We cast down the lies that have been spoken about us, the lies that have been spoken about our children, the lies that have been spoken about our family members, Lord. We cast it down in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, we cast them down. We agree together, Lord, that those lies will come tumbling down. And Lord, you would help us to steer, oh Lord, our prayers back toward the truth, Lord. We receive nothing that the enemy dishes out. We receive your word. Your word is truth. Your word is life. Oh Lord, we thank you. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord. Father, we're coming, Lord. We pray for more love, more power. We're looking for more power, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we will not stand by and continue being defeated by the enemy, Lord God. But we pray for more power. Oh, Lord, where the enemy is raging right now because we're close to the victory, Lord, I pray that we would stand. Having done all to stand, we continue to stand, Lord God. Therefore, as the enemy rages, Lord, lift up a standard, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you. We expect it. We're looking for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.